Psalms 119. Psalms 119. We are thankful to see each one this morning. I know we have some that are out, wasn't able to be here, traveling. We've got some that's sick. The flu is going around. So there's some that have had that, and maybe some other ailments. And we certainly won't be much in prayer for them. But God knew who was going to be here, and He knows what we need. I'm thankful that we don't have to figure it all out. Just look to the one that's already got it figured out, and we would be a lot better off. You pray for me this morning that I can preach God's message. Psalms 119, begin reading with verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word of God, or to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. I wonder how many of us could say that this morning. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Boy, I tell you, there's some statements in there that ought to just do our heart good. You know, there's a way that is right. There's a way that is pure. There is a way that is the divine will of God. And when God has not brought us to 2019 to leave us grasping for straws. Amen. He hasn't brought us to where we are now to try to figure things out all on our own. God is still God. And He is still leading us by His Spirit if we will look to Him. And He has a way that He wants to see us go. Even as a church as a whole, God has a path for Clear Branch Church. It's the path He wants to see us go. Each one of us, members of His church, we are to walk worthy of the vocation in which we are called. That means God has a job for you to do, and He has a job for me to do. And wherever we are, if we'll look to the Lord, He will show us and He will equip us to be able to walk worthy of that vocation in which we're called. Now, if we walk away from the Lord, the first thing we need to do is turn back to Him. And we need to repent so that we can be in His will. But God hasn't cast us off. He hasn't forgotten about us. He didn't get us out here to 2019 to say, my goodness, things went so wrong. I don't know what in the world I'm going to do to try to fix this mess. God is still in control. In fact, the things we're seeing now, He told us about back when the Scripture was completed. And so there's nothing to worry about. Nothing's gotten out of His hands. But God's way is the good way. My way sometimes may seem good to me, but it ends up not being the good way. Anytime I start trying to do what Brad O'Neill wants to do, I find out Brad O'Neill does not know very much. That you may look at a situation and think, I know just exactly what to do in this situation. And I believe that's why God, the Lord, took His disciples out in a boat and then showed them a storm they couldn't handle. Because when you think that you've got things figured out, the Lord will send something to disrupt them plans, throw a monkey wrench in your plan, so to speak, so that you'll realize He's the one in control. Now, Brother Ross, why does He do that? God can do things any way He wants to. He don't just speak and the storm stops. He's also in control of the storm starting. And He didn't have to start a storm. He didn't have to, Brother Matt, He didn't have to let that wind whip up like He did, but it did, and it was tempestuous. Why did He allow that? He could have just went on and it'd been calm waters the whole time. You know, sometimes I ask that in my own life, Lord, why in the world did this have to come along well? So I look to Him. No, He can fix it, He can change it, or He can guide me through it if I will look to Him. So His way is the good way. His path He leads us to green pastures. He's the one leads us to the cool waters. And He's where we're going to find peace and rest and contentment for our souls. But listen to the psalmist here. He said, I will delight in thy statutes. I will. I will. With my whole heart, I have sought after thee. I'm looking to you, and I'm looking to you alone. I'm seeking after you with all of my heart, and I'm not going to wander from that. Boy, whenever we get in that kind of condition, we can delight in the Lord. What happens when you delight in the Lord? He said, He'll give you the desires of your heart. That's interesting, and it's very encouraging, and it's uplifting. And yet, whenever we're desiring the Lord, all of a sudden we start thinking like He does. That changes what we think. So, listen again. He said, I will delight in thy statutes. So, this would be David's delight. We know David delighted in the Lord. We know that the Lord was Moses' delight. He delighted himself in the Lord. We know that the same could be said for Peter. He was delighted in the Lord. He wanted to always be in the Lord's presence. He wanted to be Jesus' right-hand man. He wanted to be the first one He called on. He wanted to be the one that stepped out of the boat whenever Jesus called out. He wanted to be exactly what the Lord would have him to be. Same thing for Paul. And yet the things that they would, they did not. And the things that they would not, they did. Well, Matt, that could be said about any of those men. Paul made the statement very clear about himself. The things that I would, I do not. The things that I would not, that do I. David, man after God's own heart, and yet we know that he slipped away, didn't he? Same thing for Moses, followed the Lord, and then he went and he struck the rock. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to disappoint the Lord. He didn't want to let the Lord down. But you know, that kind of hits close to home for me. And no doubt for you as well, that we want to. I believe as I look around this morning, I believe I'm looking at people, you want to serve the Lord with all of your heart. You want to please Him. You want Him to be pleased with you. And yet, so many times we mess up. So many times I have. And so this passage, the reason that it's on my heart this morning, I want to remind us to focus on the truth. The truth of God's Word is what will keep us out of trouble. It's what will keep us on the right path. But when we look to the right hand and we look to the left hand, that's whenever we get off track. So the burden of my heart is this. I want us to consider distractions. Distractions are the enemy's great strategy against us. You think about distractions, and I tell you, our mind oftentimes we think, well, you know, maybe a baby crying. So that's a distraction. You know, I have found this, Brother Ryan, that whenever a baby's crying out here, it does not distract me, it distracts the mama. Mama's distracted a little bit, or daddy's distracted a little bit, or you know, it might be somebody maybe right there beside them that gets a little distracted, but it's for the whole, it has to get pretty bad. Sometimes we get distracted by things as simple as the temperature. Oh, the temperature's a little warm in here. Boy. My goodness, somebody needs to. What happens there? All of a sudden, the attention's on me. Attention's not where it's supposed to be. Boy, it's cold in here. Boy, how could they have it that cold? It's just freezing. You know what? We all built up a little different. Some of us hot natured, some of us cold natured. And boy, if we're not careful, now I'm not saying we ought to come in here and it be ice hanging, and I'm not saying we come in here everybody be fanning, but at the same time, it's impossible to get it exactly the way everybody wants it. And so we need to be a little bit long-suffering, don't we, and not be distracted by something as simple as that. Sometimes we come in, but let's don't just look at the natural distractions. Sometimes, probably more often than not, it's the spiritual things. The things that get a hold of our heart. You come in and maybe sit down and all of a sudden, oh, I tell you, I get nervous in a crowd. Next thing you know, what am I focused on? I'm completely focused on myself. I'm not focused on worshiping the Lord. I'm not focused on His will. I'm focused on, my goodness, this is a big crowd. And I'm getting nervous. And all. You say, well, you know, people can't handle that. You're looking at one that fights it all the time. But I tell you what happens is we get focused on ourselves. And whenever we do that and take our eyes off the Lord, it gets worse and worse. The enemy knows how to attack us. Somebody may come in and sit down and you're a little bit, got your feathers ruffled at somebody else. And all of a sudden, you know, that's all you can think about. Well, the devil is winning a battle. He's got you distracted. You ought to be spiritual. You ought to be here to worship the Lord. You ought to be here to receive His message. But now, He's got you right where He wants you. You're thinking about only yourself. And so, this passage reminds us, let's focus on the Word of the Lord. That's what's important. The Word of the Lord always bail us out. He said He'll always provide a way. The way is going to be through His Word. He'll always bail us out there. You know, I said I want us to see distractions this morning. I thought about our military and sometimes police forces. They use these flash grenades. You see it on all the big movies and everything before they run into a building. They throw them grenades in and a big flash and everybody's ears is ringing. And it temporarily disorients the enemy. That's what they're for. And really, Brother Joe, it's no more than a distraction. Yeah, it might hurt your ears and blow out your eardrums or something. You can't see. But it's distracting and they're disoriented. I believe the devil does that to us all the time. He does something to flash, to bang, to cause us to not receive what we need to receive. And not just at church. It's like this every day of our life. We get up and we read our Bibles and we think, I'm gonna try to concentrate on the will of God today. And before we get out of the house, He's got us distracted on other things. Satan has no power over a spiritual child of God. And I tell you, I'm just beginning to learn that. You know, to think, oh, how big and bad the devil is. Jesus won the victory over that fella. And He said, all power has been given to me in heaven and earth. Prince and the power of the air, but all power has been given to Jesus. He overcome him. And then He turned around, Brother Richard, He said, behold, I give it to you. He gave it to us. He gave it to His church. Hey, listen, the devil does not have great power over a spiritual child of God. No power over one that has complete focus on the Lord and His precepts. He has been defeated. And the power that we need comes from our head. Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church and He gives us power. Think about people being saved. Where's the power at? Power's in the gospel. Who carries the gospel? Jesus is the gospel. We carry it to the world. There's power in the gospel. But we have power to be a blessing to a soul that they could be saved, and yet many times we are distracted. That's really about the only play the old devil has left, I guess, is to lie to us. And if we could just see how often we relinquish our power by accepting the lie that the devil tells us. You know, I think about Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, the early part of that verse, Cain made an offering to the Lord, and yet God did not accept it, and he got mad about that. And the Lord told him, He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Lord let him know where his error was, and if you'll just do what I told you to start with, everything will be fine. But he got distracted. How did he get distracted? He was jealous because somebody else was doing better than him. Oh, how easy it is for us to get spiritually disrupted, to get to looking at somebody else and start coveting what they have. And boy, I tell you, I know that fella there. I know my brother. He ain't that special. Why is God favoring him? God already told him, all you need to do is do well. Look at yourself. Consider yourself. But he got distracted and looking at the wrong thing. He was no longer worried about doing good. He was worried about that brother that was doing better than him. Don't be distracted. Don't let the devil distract you. Again, just to relinquish power over to him. Let's don't do that. Matthew 6, 24, verse 34, there we read about money. We know about money, don't we? How that? Look, money don't have any power one way or the other. Can't do good, it can't do bad. On it sounds like a gun. Oh, these guns. Boy, we just do away with guns and crime will just cease to exist. Gun ain't never committed a crime. Whoever held it did. Same way with money. He didn't say money was evil. He said the love of money's evil. Whenever it affects our heart, when we get to chasing after that, when we get distracted by it, that we can't even focus on the Lord's will, we can't do what He would have us to do because all we can think about is the next best thing. Something else I've got to buy. Something else I've got to accomplish. Another kingdom that I've got to build up for myself. When we get to focusing on that, we take our focus off what's important. We're not building up kingdoms here. The Lord's established a kingdom. He's preparing us a place. And one day we'll get to go be there. And look, I'm already a millionaire. Don't have to worry about what this world has to offer. Look, as well, you've got to pay your bills. That's true. Need to pray about that too, don't we? Sometimes we may make more bills than we should. Again, I'm not getting on anybody. You're looking at me. Look, that's something I've struggled with all my life too. And Lord's having to teach me some lessons and has. And I'm thankful He's for them. But God's will is more precious than gold. The wisdom we find in Scriptures, it's more precious than fine gold. He said, search after it like hidden treasure. It's way more important to search after the will of God than it is chasing after something that we want for ourselves. I already told you, whenever I start looking to do Brad's will, I get in trouble. It never works out like I see it in my head. The love of money, Bible said it's the root of all evil. And our adversary, he knows how to keep us chasing after the end of the rainbow. Boy, if I can just get there, we'll have that pot of gold. Deceiving ourselves. Oh, how distracted we can get. I thought about the rich man that built the bigger barns. Nothing wrong with building bigger barns. If your heart's in the right place. He looked out there and he saw that his crop did well. Boy, I thank the Lord when crops do well. I'd rather put up 100 packs of peas than I would 40. I'm out. I'm ready for some more to come in. Brandon's had to go to the fruit stand, pick some up. I'd rather put up more if the Lord's in it. I'm satisfied with what He blesses with. At least I need to be. Nothing wrong with looking out, boy, that crop did good. I've got to do something with it. What am I going to do? Well, I'll extend the barn. I'll add on to it. I'll build new ones. The problem's not that he did all that. The problem is he wasn't looking at anything spiritual. He didn't consider his own soul. I tell you right now, if you're here and you're lost, it'd be good if you just hit the pause button a minute and you need to concentrate on what's important. You're lost. On the road to hell, you need to be saved. Boy, the devil will distract you if you let him. Look over at Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Well, I have to either focus on one or the other. You can't focus on both, can you? I've got myself in more trouble trying to juggle both sides of this thing. Boy, I want to make the world happy, and I want to make the flesh happy, and I want to do things of the flesh, and at the same time, I want to do the spiritual, and I want God to be happy. And just don't work that way. We have to live in this world. God didn't take us out of the world. That's not what I'm preaching. We have to live in this world. There's some things in this world that we consider that's a carnal thing, but we have to have it. You have to eat. If you don't eat, you'll die. Have to do it. Still a carnal thing. If you get too focused on it, we get in trouble. Have to sleep. I had a man tell me that, well, you don't have to sleep. I still didn't figure out where he was going with that. We don't really even have to sleep. Catch a nap here and there. Catch one while you're driving. We have to sleep. I tell you what, we can't get to a point where we're just lazy. Don't do a thing like we should. And we can't get to a point where we so worried about sleeping too much, we don't sleep enough. That's a carnal thing. I know we have to sleep, though. Have to some point. Just don't let it become a distraction, you know. Oh, the spiritual things, though. We need to pay attention to the spiritual. We need to walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, be filled with the Lord. You can't be filled with the Lord and filled with self at the same time. I told y'all already once before, go up here to McDonald's and tell them you want a Coke, and you don't get a whole Coke. You get a cup full of ice and a little Coke. It's a mixture. If you like a lot of ice, that's good. But if you want all Coke, you want to say hold the ice. You can't fill it with both. We can't be filled with both either. There's a war going on inside of us. Dear friends, listen. We can have a spiritual desire to do God's will, but we also have to understand that carnal side of us. If we're not careful, that desire, the enemy is able to work with that desire, that persuasion, and he uses that to distract us. I'm thankful Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 said, commit thy works to the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. About to commit, though. Let's talk about Martha just a minute. Martha, well, we give her a bad rap, don't we? I was in revival down at Mars Hill, and I think he's talked about Martha two or three times. I did that week. And Martha, I believe, was a good woman. She reminds me of a lot of good old Baptist ladies. She knows how to cook, and she keeps the house clean, and she knows what she's doing. Those things are not wrong. It's good. In fact, you know, we're to teach our young ladies to be keepers at home. She was a keeper at home. That's what she was doing. She was keeping the home. She was upset because, by my understanding, the Bible says that we're to be keepers at home. We're to be that Proverbs 31 woman. And what's Mary doing in there on the floor? She ought to be in here helping. Jesus pointed out something very important at that time. Christ trumps everything. Everything. And there's a time whenever the Lord is speaking to our hearts that nothing else should matter. Nothing. Not even sweeping the floor. Not even washing them dirty clothes. Well, I tell you what, if you don't wash them, you're not going to have anything to wear. If washing clothes keeps me from being able to serve the Lord like I need to, then it'd be all right to wear some dirty clothes. Just put them on dirty. I know that's against our way of thinking. But you know, it might be we need to just prepare beforehand a little bit more. I'm not trying to offend any of you ladies. I hope you understand that. But I want to help us to see Christ is more important than anything else. And that goes for us men too. We can get our minds set on things that we want to do and accomplish. Look, Martha, she was concentrating on duty. Sometimes we can concentrate so hard on duty that we miss the one that we're supposed to be serving in the first place. The disciples, they dropped their nets and followed him. That's still amazing to me. When I think about that, Brother Freddie, did somebody just come along and pick them nets up? Did they go back and sell them? At that time, they did not care about them nets. It didn't matter if somebody stole them. It didn't matter if they ever come back to them again. The Lord may have said, y'all can go back tomorrow and sell them nets. I don't know. It's not written for us, but at that time, they said, you know what? These nets are not important. They were patching them anyway. May have been time to get some more. Nobody didn't even want them. I don't know. But what a sacrifice, though. What a sacrifice. I'm just going to drop these nets. Walk away from them. Lord can handle it. He'll take care of it. I'm going to just let it go. That was their livelihood, Brother Joey. That's how they made money. We're just going to drop them. Lord ain't asked us to do that every day. He didn't say walk off the job site and don't ever go back again. That's not what he's led people to do down through the years. You got to take care of the family. But when he speaks, it's time to listen. As we live our life, we need to live a life of spiritual, walking with the Lord. Not what I want, but what he wants. If you're here and you're lost, I want you to recognize how often you have been distracted. Satan cannot make you go to hell. He does not have that power. He cannot make you go to hell. But I tell you what he will do. He will distract you as long as you will let him. And there's many of us, because of our own lust, we're okay with being distracted. I thought about Brother James Broom preaching a revival one time. I know you've heard this before, so maybe there's somebody here you visiting or something, you hadn't heard it. But Brother James Broom was preaching revival one time, and he got there and he said everybody in that church was distracted. He said all you heard about was, oh, I got to get this hay put up, got to get the hay cut, going to come in for rain, got to look, just one thing after the other. Well, the garden's coming in, and boy, I tell you, I'm struggling. Everybody in the church house distracted. He said, come out midway through the revival. He realized he had lost all attention from everybody there, and he just stopped. He said, I think we're through with revival this week. He said, everybody in this church is distracted. He said, your poor pastor is over here asleep. He's worked so hard. Pastor didn't even know what was going on. He was out. He said, what we need to do is we need to just shut down and let's go get the hay in the barn and let's go get the crops and get the vegetables picked and all that kind of stuff. And then when we get to a point where we are ready to give God our attention, let's come back and have revival. And he offered the invitation, and he said, as a man come up, just broke down crying, he said, preacher, I need to make a statement. He made a statement, Brother Byron. He said, I was sitting, that preacher is absolutely right. He said, while he's preaching, I was sitting here, he said, I just had either a beef or a hog slaughtered. He said, and me and my brother's going to go in halves on that, I believe it's a cow. And I was trying to figure out how I was going to get back the money for the feed that I had put to that cow. And I was trying to figure out how I could come out ahead on that deal. He said, that's what was on my mind. While he's preaching the service. I wonder how many times that's where we are. and not even mean to. We're doing our duty. We're at church. We're doing exactly what we think we ought to be doing, and yet the old enemy behind the scenes has thrown us something that's got our attention, and we've missed everything. You pray for me that I wouldn't be distracted. We'll ask for something.